We turn to God's Word tonight to two places. We read two verses from Galatians 5, and then we'll turn to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 5, in my own church, I'm currently preaching through the fruits of the Spirit, as noted in Galatians chapter 5. And that particular fruit of the Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, that we'll consider tonight is the fruit of the Spirit known as joy. So that's our text, Galatians 5. Let's read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And then we'll turn to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And now for an explanation of that joy and an exhortation to that joy, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read this entire chapter together with the first four verses of chapter 4. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Thus far, we read God's holy and inspired word. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, are you a joyful Christian? And is your life filled with joy, and does that joy overflow in your life? Now, maybe tonight our answer is something along these lines. Yes, Pastor, there are times in my life when I am happy and joyful. I like those times, but right now is not one of those times. Right now, my life, I've got trouble and hardship. And I'm just waiting for it to pass and for the good and the happy times to come back. In my own congregation, we recently had a member who was in the hospital with surgery and in the hospital for many days after that. And then another member beside who anticipated surgery with many months of recovery afterwards. But you take that, for example, surgery and a lengthy recovery, well, that's hardly a joyful prospect. Far from it bringing a smile to my face and gladness to my heart, I rather grimace because of the pain, and my heart is downcast because of the anticipated trouble. And we say that's not a time in my life that's characterized by joy. But then in all of our lives, are our lives characterized by joy? So that when people come to know us, we cross paths with them, we interact with them, we talk to them, what is the impression that we leave with them? Because invariably, we leave an impression. What's the impression that we leave with others? So that the other people would say about us, there's something different about him or her, because he or she is a happy person, the most joyful person I've ever met. Now, perhaps that might be overstating it a bit, but do they sense the joy and the happiness that is in your life? Surely they do not say, he is a grumpy person. That's all he ever is. She is a pessimistic woman. That's all she ever is. Now you understand that there's a difference between true Christian joy and what we might call earthly happiness. The world wants to be happy. The world wants to be joyful, and often they resort to what they think will bring them joy and happiness, to amusement, to recreation, and pursuing all sorts of lusts of the flesh. And they think that the more I possess, the more happy and joyful I'll become. But that's not true Christian joy. Christian joy is not dependent upon earthly or material things. It's possible to be the most poor, poverty-stricken Christian in all this world, with all sorts of trouble, with all sorts of hardship, with a host of afflictions, and yet to be more happy and joyful than that worldly man who has $1 million in the bank and doesn't have a care in the world. Well, that's because true Christian joy transcends the circumstances of this life and finds its source of joy and happiness in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what the Apostle Paul is instructing the Philippians here in chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. He directs the Philippians to Jesus Christ as the source of all of their joy and all of their happiness. Time and time again, Paul exhorts the Philippians to live in this joy, to experience this joy. That was the first verse we read in Philippians, the last verse. 3 verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, which means be happy in Him, be joyful in the Lord. And then that last verse we read, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, what's the reason for their joy? What's the reason for their continual experience of this joy? Well, it's not because they had the prospect of getting rich and attaining all sorts of wealth. That's not the reason for their joy. Neither is it that God was going to give them an easy, carefree life. On the contrary, all you need to do is read chapter 1. The Philippians, though they were a very joyful congregation, they had their enemies. They had their adversaries who were making their lives miserable. No, none of that is the reason for their joy. But this is the reason for the joy of the Philippians. Jesus Christ. The Philippians know Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul extols the greatness of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Him and the joy that it brings him here in chapter 3. All of those things that Paul lists in chapter 3 that he thought earlier in his life, before his conversion, all of those things that he thought brought him joy. That he was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, that he was a Pharisee, that he was a purebred Israelite. Earlier in Paul's life, he would have said, this is what brings me joy. I am an Israelite. I am righteous because of my own works. But now after that Paul has been converted, what does he account all of those things? He realizes that those things were not the source of his joy, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Christ is the source of his joy, and that's the source of all our joy too. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the faith that He gives me so that I know that I am united to Him and that He lives in me and that I fellowship with Him in the covenant of grace. And as Philippians 4 verse 4 says, we rejoice and let all our rejoicing be in the Lord. And that's the theme for the sermon tonight, rejoicing in the Lord. Let's note first the nature of this joy. Secondly, the life of joy that will follow. And finally, the blessings of joy, rejoicing in the Lord. Now, there are a number of words that the Bible uses to describe joy. Happiness, gladness, mirth. Often in the Old Testament, the feeling and the emotion of joy was expressed by way of leaping and dancing, and that's what we have when you think of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant up into Jerusalem. That was an occasion of great joy and happiness for David, and David could not hide that joy, and he expressed that joy leaping and dancing and singing unto God. In the New Testament, when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he says in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Even as the object of the cruelty of men, even when the situation in life becomes bleak and desolate, we leap for joy, knowing that our reward is great in heaven. And so you recognize then that this Christian joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is far different and really the exact opposite of simply a worldly happiness and a worldly joy. Worldly happiness and joy is always dependent upon the outward circumstances of life. If I make enough money, and usually if I make a lot of money, then I will be happy. If I experience good health in life, then that's the key to a joyful life. When I'm held in high regard by my neighbors, when they praise and think something of me because of something that I've done, well, then that is what will make me happy, and that is what gives me great joy. And then, too, people think that if they engage in the pleasures of sin, that that will give them joy, that that will satisfy them, whether it be worshiping false gods, whether it be gambling and the thought of striking it rich, whether it be fornication or drunkenness or pursuing all of the lusts of the flesh. These are the things that the world thinks will give them joy and give them happiness. And so there's a word of warning for us here. Don't seek after those things. And don't ever be of the mind that if only I had more, if only things were different in my life, if only my circumstances were different, then I would be joyful, then I would be happy. Maybe you'd be happy according to earthly standards, having all kinds of earthly riches and treasures, but if that's all your joy consists of, I say, how shallow and how vain is that? Because that joy is dependent upon the outward circumstances of life. And all that needs to happen is remove the money, lose the job, get sick, and now the joy is gone and you've become altogether miserable. And even if you could have all of that earthly joy and happiness all your life long, yet what is that before God? Where's the comfort of God's favor and God's presence? Where's the leaping for joy knowing that my place in heaven is secure? Well, there's none of that. None of that. Which is to say that all earthly joy and happiness, it's only temporal. It's only carnal. It's the enjoyment of the pleasures of sin for a season, only at the end of one's life to fall into the hands of an angry God. That's not what Christian joy is. Philippians 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 4 instruct us on this true Christian joy. Philippians 3 verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, which means be glad in Him. Delight yourself in Him. The same thing in chapter 4 verse 4, but rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. So then the question that confronts us is this: what is it about the Lord that makes us joyful, that makes us happy and glad? Well, first, there's that name that we have here in 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 4, the name Lord. That name means master and owner. Being a master, being an owner carries with it the idea of being responsible for that which you own, so that in Bible times, a master might have many slaves, and if he was a good master, at least, he would personally see to the care of all of those who worked for him, giving them food, giving them lodging. And so great was the care of the master for his servants and for his slaves that they would become part of the family. And that's because the master is responsible and he takes care of all his property, of everything that he owns. And that was a source of great joy for the slaves. I belong to my master. And he takes care of me. And he's responsible for me. And for us too. The Lord is our master. He is our owner. We don't belong unto ourselves. We belong unto the Lord. He purchased us with the price of the blood of his Son. Jesus Christ paid the price, and now we are the servants of the Lord Savior, and he's responsible for us. He owns us. He's responsible for all your salvation, for all my salvation. The burden of salvation isn't put upon us. The burden of salvation is put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is responsible for taking upon himself my sins and satisfying all of the justice of God for those sins. I don't help Jesus. I don't assist him. I don't fulfill any conditions to make it possible for Jesus Christ to save me. Why not? Because he is Lord. And all the responsibility for my salvation and for my righteousness before God is on him. So that either Jesus saves me 100% or he saves me not at all. He is Lord. And such a wonderful Lord and Master he is that having saved me through the death of the cross, he continues to preserve me all my life long in the enjoyment of that salvation. Now you recognize that language because that's taken from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, regarding the work that Christ does as King. My preservation. It's not the case that having saved me, now it's up to me in my own strength to stay saved. It's up to me to preserve me and to bring me to final glory. No, but Jesus is responsible for my preservation as well. He keeps me strong in the faith. He preserves me against the attacks of the devil so that I never can be snatched away and that I never can lose that salvation that he once has earned for me. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus preserves us. He keeps us. And then again, in Romans 8, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And now I say all this we learn from the fact that our Savior is Lord. He owns us and he saves us and he preserves us. Well, what's our response to this fact that we belong to the Lord? What is our response to the fact that salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who shows mercy? Well, what else can we do but rejoice? And as Philippians 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 4 says, we rejoice in the Lord. And that's speaking of an activity on our part to rejoice. Rejoicing isn't simply a happy feeling. Rejoicing does not mean that I have a smile on my face. And so long as I can force a smile on my face, that therefore I'm happy. Rejoicing isn't simply emotions that we have. Although, to be sure, our emotions are involved, but to rejoice is that spiritual activity of the heart whereby I delight in God the Lord and in all that the Lord has done for me. That's what it means to rejoice. To rejoice is that spiritual activity of the heart whereby I delight myself in God the Lord and in everything that He has done for me, knowing that all my sins have been forgiven, knowing that God has given me to Jesus Christ, and that my Lord and my Savior saves me, that He preserves me all my life long, and that He will, no doubt about it, He will bring me to heavenly glory. Joy is the fruit that we bring forth in the covenant of grace. God has established a covenant with us. That covenant is fellowship with God, knowing Him and loving Him. And when God establishes His covenant with us, He comes to us and He lives with us and He dwells with us. And He makes known to us that He is present with us in our lives so that we know Him. That's the covenant of grace. And now listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence there is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. But it says, in Thy presence there is fullness of joy. Now that's not speaking exclusively about the future and when God brings us to heavenly glory and when we will live with Him, but even living with God right now in the covenant of grace, delighting ourselves in God, rejoicing in the sweet communion that we have with Him, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Thy presence there is fullness of joy, which means that there's no joy anywhere else. So don't go seeking for your joy any place else than in the Lord and in the enjoyment of knowing that He is near unto me and that He is present with me. In Thy presence there is fullness of joy. We are full of the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives unto me, so that my life with God is, as it were, a vessel, a container, and now that vessel is full and it's overflowing with all of this joy and all of this happiness and gladness and mirth because of my relationship with God and what He has done for me. There's no room then for any other earthly joy because I am so filled with the joy of my Lord and my Savior, rejoicing in Him, living with Him in the covenant, and delighting myself in Him. And when God establishes His covenant with us, then we bring forth that fruit of joy. And all of our lives then will be characterized by that joy. So that even as our hearts are glad and we rejoice in the Lord, so that will show itself in our lives. And we know that because of what Philippians 4 verse 4 says. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. We are to rejoice in the Lord always, which means this is to be a continuous activity in our lives. Always rejoicing. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? And so we ask the question, what are those things that we have to watch out for, that we have to be on guard against, that would rob us of our Christian joy in life? And two things that I bring to your attention. In the first place, when we measure joy according to the wrong standard. And this is something that we all can sense when we begin to go astray. When we begin to lust after earthly things, when we want earthly things more and more, and there's a certain part of us that wants those things, and you think of a little child who has his heart set on a particular toy or a particular video game, and it becomes clear, mom and dad say, no, you are not getting that. And now that child is sad and grumpy, maybe becomes mean and angry. Well, now I say, is that you? Is that me? When we have our hearts set on the wrong things, thinking that those things will give unto us joy and happiness, whether it's a bigger house, fancier car, newer clothes, designer clothes, more vacation, more fun, more recreation. But then over the course of time, God makes clear to us that that's not His will for us. And then we're not happy for a while, are we? We're not joyful. And sometimes we can become like that little child who doesn't get his way, and he stomps his foot down on the floor as he goes to his room and slams the door. Now, maybe we don't throw a temper tantrum when we don't get the things that we want. Sometimes that can happen to us even as adults when we throw a temper tantrum, when we don't get those things. I hope we don't do that. But when we make plain by our attitude that I am not happy, and I let my husband know it by the way that I behave to him, and I let my wife know it, and we as children, we let our parents know it, and there's no joy present there in our lives, is there then? There's only bitterness and envy and hatred, and that bitterness becomes a cancer, and it spreads to the lives around, to others around me. We're not joyful in life in those situations, are we? Why not? Because we're measuring our joy according to the wrong standard. So beware of that. In the second place, there are times that we are not experiencing joy in life because we are living unrepentant in sin for a while. You think of David. How did that go with David? He committed adultery with another man's wife. He thought nobody else knew about it. And then word comes back to him, and Bathsheba says, I am pregnant. And now David is conniving in his mind how he can cover up that sin so that it doesn't see the light of day. And he kills Bathsheba's husband in an attempt to cover up that sin. And up until Nathan the prophet finally confronts him with his sin, which, mind you, was a few months later, do you think during that time that David was a joyful man, joyful in the Lord, experiencing that joy? I say he was not. He was living in that sin and not owning up to that sin and not confessing that sin before God. And David's life during that time was miserable. It was a life of perpetual worry and doubt and anxiety. Is somebody going to catch me? And what else must I do to cover up this sin? God withheld the experience of joy from David's life so long as he was living unrepentant in that sin. And that's the way it goes for us too. That we have those besetting sins. The temptation comes and we fall into that sin. But if we're not sorry and we continue in those sins, we try to cover up those sins, we're not going to be living a life of joy and happiness in the Lord. That's going to be a life of fear, a life of dread, a life of worry and anxiety, worrying about how I'm going to cover up this sin and what excuse I can concoct so that other people won't figure out what I'm doing. And so, people of God, let's be on guard against those things, measuring our joy according to the wrong standard and living unrepented in sin. Let's repent of our sins, confessing them, because those things would rob us of our Christian joy. But the positive exhortation is that we rejoice in the Lord always. And so let this be evident in your life and in mine in a number of different ways that we live this life of joy. In the first place, we show our life of rejoicing by our faithful attendance at the worship services. Now, I say that because in our call to worship that we had tonight from Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, this is what we read: "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Now, all of our life is to be lived joyfully and in the presence of God, but now, particularly as we gather in the presence of Jehovah God in the divine worship services, and our hearts are filled with joy, and now that joy bursts forth in the praise that we render to Jehovah God, in the singing of the Psalms of Zion, in the prayers that we offer, in the giving of our offerings, and in all of the aspects of this worship service. We come before the Lord with joy and with gladness of heart, because unto us is entrusted the word of the gospel. To us is given the privilege of knowing that God is my Lord and my Savior, that He loves me, that He gave Jesus Christ for me, that He preserves me, that He will bring me to final glory. And the worship service then is a time that God gives unto us to open the release valve, as it were, in our hearts. All of that joy that is building up over the course of the week, and now in the course of the worship service, God gives us the worship service that our joy may spill out and overflow in praise and thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us. Do not believe that man or woman who says that he is a joyful man, that she is a joyful woman, and yet they do not attend the worship services, that they do not join themselves to a true church of Jesus Christ, that they think they can be joyful sitting at home reading the Bible on the Sabbath days, doing their own thing. No. The Bible makes clear that we serve the Lord with gladness, and that gladness is experienced when we come before His presence and when we gather together in the congregation of believers, as we are doing tonight, praising and worshiping God and making our hearts joyful in Him. But then too, in all of our lives, Monday through Saturday, we are exhorted to joyful living. Rejoice in the Lord. Now maybe you say, "Pastor, but I have so much work to do. I hardly have time to be joyful. The children are so needy. My work is so demanding, and by the time I finally get my wits about me and I have the children in bed, and when I'm about to be joyful, I'm so tired that I just have to go to bed." But you see, people of God, joyful Christian life isn't something that's in spite of my labor, but rather this: even in the midst of my Christian labor, I labor as the servant of Jesus Christ.
He is my Lord. He's my owner. He's my master. I belong to Him in all of the things that I do, day by day by day. So that, are you a mother in the home? With all of the cares and all of the labor that God has given unto you? Well, God in His infinite wisdom has seen fit to put you in that position. And He will equip you and He will strengthen you for that labor. And you may do that work joyfully, knowing that you are laboring in the strength of Jehovah God and that you are of great benefit for the kingdom. Are you a builder? Are you an accountant? Are you a mechanic? Are you a restaurant worker? Are you a young person? Are you an aged saint? Are you retired? God has put you in that position, and God will give you the strength to glorify His name and to be a faithful witness. But now you may do that work joyfully, doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so our Christian life and the work that God gives unto us, our joyfulness isn't in spite of the labor that God gives to me, that I just have to bear it. But even in the midst of my Christian labor, this is the work that God has given me to do. I will rejoice and be exceeding glad in all of life. Rejoice in the Lord at home, at church, at work, at school. And even the text says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always, even during those moments of life that make us sad. Even during those moments when we have to stand at the grave of a loved one, and though our eyes are filled with tears, and yet in our hearts there's sorrow and grief, but there's joy too. There's joy in our hearts knowing the glory that our loved one who has died in the Lord experiences in heavenly glory. There's joy in my heart knowing that this is what God has in store for me as well. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What great blessings are ours as God gives us the Holy Spirit and He exhorts us to a life of joy. So many wonderful blessings. In the first place, with the blessing of joy comes happiness and contentment with God's will in my life. Contentment comes along with that joy. Now, maybe your life is very difficult from an outward point of view. And there are all sorts of struggles and there are all sorts of hardships that you must endure. It's one thing after another. You go through one hardship, and just when you emerge from it, there's another affliction that is worse than the first. But insofar as the Christian knows that his joy in life is not dependent upon the external circumstances in life, we can rejoice. And that delivers me from being overcome with bitterness and despair. My joy is that I live with God and He loves me and He saves me and His will for me is good. And even all of the affliction in this life, He uses them for my preparation for glory. And I'm content in life, whether I have little, whether I have much, whether I'm sick or whether I'm healthy, whether I'm a young person, whether I'm an aged saint, in all the circumstances of life, I'm content and satisfied and joyful. In the second place, this too, when the Holy Spirit works this joy in my heart, there comes with it the joy of my certain place in heavenly glory, and my knowledge of it, and my certainty of it. And I say that from Matthew 25, verse 23, when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant,
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, we experience that joy now in this life. I am a child of God. I belong to my Lord. I labor for Him. But there comes the day when God will reward our joyful service of Him with the joys of heavenly glory. And then in the third place, when God gives us this joy in life, then you and I may be assured that indeed we have the Holy Spirit. And that is of no little comfort to you and to me, because joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If God did not give unto us the Holy Spirit, if Jesus Christ did not pour out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and to all of His peers, to all of His children and all of the New Testament, then you and I would not have this joy. But insofar as we bring forth this fruit of joy in our lives, and we do rejoice ourselves in the Lord. When you delight yourself in the Lord, in who He is, and in all of the things that He has done for you, when you praise God together with the family of God here in the congregation with joyful singing, hearts overflowing with joy, and that's something that we're doing right now, insofar as we bring forth this fruit of joy, and we do, that's because Jesus Christ our Lord has given unto us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit regenerates us. That means indeed I am a regenerated child of God. That Christ lives in me and I in Him, and that the Spirit sanctifies me so that I will bring forth more fruit. And may God so bless us then with His Spirit that we rejoice in the Lord, that we experience that joy both now and forevermore. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we rejoice in the Lord. We thank Thee that Thou art Jehovah God. We thank Thee that Thou hast saved us from all our sins, and that now we belong unto our faithful Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that all of our joy is in Him, that He has saved us from all of our sins, from death and destruction, and has translated us into the kingdom of Thy dear Son. Give unto us more, richer measure of that Spirit, that we may live in joy, perform all of our earthly service to Thee with joyful hearts in anticipation of that day when Thou wilt say unto us, "Well done, Thou good and faithful servant, enter Thou into the joy of Thy Lord." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.